Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Empowerment Place and another episode of Fire and Desire with your host, Prophetess Valerie Burwell and Prophet Rodney Beeney. Excited about another opportunity to come and share with you that which the Lord has laid on our heart, well, his heart, and I'm going to piggyback. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. This week we're going to pick up a little bit from where we left off last week about living the good life and what that looks like and what God's expectations are of us and how things are supposed to happen. I like what you said, Prophet, when you posted on Facebook, when you asked the question, how far removed are we from that life right now?
Amen.
And I think that's probably something that many of us are asking ourselves in light of where we are with God, but then knowing that God desires something more. And so, yeah, we really do have to ask the question, how far off am I? Because if I've been doing this my way, then, yeah, I've probably got a long way to go. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. A relevant question, that's for sure.
Amen. Amen. So you said we're going to start in Ecclesiastes 3, Prophet?
Yes, we begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we want to look at verses 9 through 15. And we want to continue, like you stated, about with looking at this best life that God has prepared for us, made provision for us to have and to live. And
mm-hmm.
Talked a little bit about it, got into it somewhat last week. You know, it's an exciting life. It's not a boring life.
Amen.
And it's a life that's built around your purpose. And so I know we continue to, you know, talk about this practically every time we come on Prophet's Valley. We mention something about purpose. But purpose is the essence of life, you know,
yes.
As it pertains to, you know, who you are in God and things like that.
Right.
So I think tonight the approach that we'll take with this is going to kind of help. You know, a lot of times I think that we come across as being real spiritual with some things and I think that a lot of times people don't understand the intervention of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll speak for myself. I am not nearly as good at some things when it comes to following God as I would hope to be.
Amen.
I'll be transparent now. You might think I'm real spiritual, but I'm not as good as I would hope to be.
Amen.
Because God is using a lot of things in my life. God is shutting doors. God is allowing contrary winds to blow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's not allowing things to happen, all to help me
mm-hmm.
move in the right direction.
Amen.
Now, if I was really good, all I would need was to be led by the Spirit of God. All I would need is for God to say it and to reveal it to me and those sorts of things.
Right.
That would be all I would need.
Right.
I would need these contrary winds. I would need God to intervene in the circumstance of my life and shut things down and shift things around so that, you know, I can't move that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would need that. So I just want to put that out there to the listening audience, you know, up front. You know, don't be deceived by people who come across as being overly spiritual. That's a lot of things God is doing in our lives to help us.
Yes.
Amen.
Every day.
A whole lot. Amen.
Every day.
So, you know, every day, exactly. And so, Prophet Valerie, I've learned to appropriate the grace of God to help me.
Yes.
You know, we talk about the grace and the mercy of God. Well, that speaks to the fact that he's not expecting me to get everything right.
Right.
I wouldn't need his mercy if I get everything right. You know, I think a lot of times people are operating out of a self-righteous mentality, you know, and we get into this realm of intellectualism with God, where we are disappointed in ourselves that we don't get it right. Well, you know, at a certain stage of life, God even makes provision for the mistakes he knows we're going to make.
Amen.
But let me say that again. I said at a certain stage of life, God will even make provision for the mistakes he knows we're going to make.
That we're going to make. Mm-hmm.
He'll make provision for that. Now, certainly as we mature, we get deeper into the plan of God, the stakes rise.
Yeah.
You know, things are more important, and it's more important that we walk at a level of precision when it comes to the will of God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight as well. But, you know, I just want the listening audience to understand, you know, if you're at a place that you're just coming into the knowledge of these things about being led by the Spirit of God, you're just beginning to really hear God speak to you clearly, don't be afraid to do things, you know, because you think you might make a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, God knows, you know, where you are. He knows how much you know, and he has expectations based of you based upon the maturity level that he expects you to be at a given season of your life.
And that's important that you say that he expects the maturity, because although he knows that there are going to be some things that we face in life that we may not master initially, but he does expect us to learn the lesson. That's a part of
exactly.
the maturing.
Exactly.
So don't think that because it happens and you didn't master it that you got a free pass. No, he expects you to learn the lesson, because it should be so that if you're grasping what he wants to reveal, when that thing shows up again, you know how to handle it a little bit differently.
Amen. Amen. And that in itself is part of the purpose of process. You know, process is eventually going to become your teacher.
Yes, yes.
Because there's some things that there's some moments that you're going to encounter in your life is going to be as almost like a deja vu. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're going to be seeing something, but even though it's the first time you encountered this is a totally new situation, your process, experiences that you've had in the past are going to speak to you in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be almost like in the athletics where they review the instant replay and they're able to make a decision and a choice based upon what has previously happened.
Yeah, amen, amen.
You know, you see this with Peter. Peter's a great example when you talk about this. In Luke chapter 5, you know, we have the account of Peter where Jesus tells him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Peter did not fully obey the instructions of the Lord. Now, one of the things that I want to point out here, and it's something that you're mentioning and speaking to even right now, Prophetess Valerie,
mm-hmm.
when this whole thing plays out and Peter lets down one net, and the net is so full of fish that it begins to break, and then Peter calls on his partners, and the boats are sinking because of this great draught of fish they have caught. Notice what Peter says. Peter does not say, Lord, I missed you.
Hmm.
Peter says, Lord, depart from me because I am a sinful man.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, at this stage of Peter's life, Peter looks at this as disobedience.
Right.
You know, for some of us, we're going around here talking about I miss God. No, where you are in God, is not. You should not even consider that missing God.
Mm-mm.
You should consider that disobedience.
Yes.
You know, some of us, the stakes are higher. And it's not that you're missing God. You're disobeying God because God expects more of you where you are.
Yes, yes.
And I think that if we change the terminology, you know, it doesn't make us feel so bad if I say I miss you, God. But it kind of gets at you, Prophetess, when you say I disobey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because that's accountability.
Exactly. We're not so swift to admit that we disobeyed. We're quick to say I missed you.
Mm-hmm.
But not so quick to say I disobeyed.
Yeah, amen.
And so we need to hold ourselves at a higher level of accountability when it comes to following God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And so to continue this thing about Peter now, so Peter does not fully follow the instructions of the Lord in Luke 5. Now, if we jump down the road in Peter's life, and one example is in John, I believe it's John 21, where after Jesus has ascended and things like that, he's been resurrected, I should say, he comes and he sees the disciples and they've been fishing. And he calls up to them. He says, children, have you caught any meat? And they said, no. And Peter is with the group. And somebody said, it's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter jumps out of the boat and runs toward Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this is almost a deja vu mm-hmm. of a couple of experiences that Peter had early on in his life. It's almost a deja vu
yeah,
of Luke
yeah,
5.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also almost a deja vu of Matthew 14 when Jesus tells him, you know, step out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Peter's response this time versus his response those times. You know, when Jesus tells him, come, step out of the boat, Peter stepped out. This time Peter jumps out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's no hesitation whatsoever.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is what I mean when I say there's some events that are going to almost be as a deja vu moment. It's almost going to be as if you've been there before, even though it's a totally new situation. And at that moment, your process, previous experiences that you've had with God are going to become your teacher.
Amen.
And even as it says in Isaiah 30, it says you will see your teachers. And you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Yeah.
And so at this moment, you're going to be able to you're going to have an opportunity to make a choice and decision to come up with the best possible result given that situation. And that's going to be important in this season of our lives because of the fact, if in fact we are far removed from the original intent of God and this best life that God purposes to have, there is the opportunity to make up some time. There is the opportunity to shorten the distance and eliminate steps. And it's going to depend on how accurate, and accuracy is not even a thing, how precise, I should say,
right,
you can move in the will of God from this point forward.
Hmm.
If you can attain a level of precision as it pertains to the will of God for your life from this point forward, you can, in fact, eliminate steps and shorten the distance to where God wants you to be. It doesn't have to take as long as it has taken us to get to where we are today.
And when you say that, prophet, you know, I think back to, it's probably been a couple of weeks now, but we talked about when God is trying to get a message to us and how when the scripture reads, he that hath an ear, let him hear.
Yes.
When you're in this place and, you know, the instructions are coming and your teacher is trying to present to you ways to eliminate steps, you've got to be able to have an ear to hear.
Yes.
The appropriate instructions. Because I think too often, you know, we say, he who hath an ear, let him hear. Well, then we say, well, we got ears, but you're not hearing God. You're hearing noise. And so
right,
based on noise that you're hearing from outside entities that have nothing to do with God's plan and purpose for your life, you take off.
Amen.
You just take off because you heard something. You had itching ears, as a matter of fact, because you wanted to hear something to validate you. And man will do that.
Amen.
And so you get that validation. You get all hyped up and you take off. And then you're like, oh, I'm stranded. Wait a minute.
Amen.
What happened? Where's that voice now? I'm still listening and I'm hearing nothing. And that's the opportunity where they say, they claim, I miss God. No,
right,
you merely disobeyed God because
right,
you didn't have an ear to hear what he was saying.
Right. Amen.
You wanted your flesh to feel good. You wanted to feel puffed up, so you listened to whatever anybody was spitting, but you didn't want to wait to hear what God had to say. So here you find yourself now having to take additional steps to get to that place that he wants you to be in.
Amen. I like that, Prophet Ismaila, because I think that a challenge that a lot of people are having is just like that scripture states, another way to put it is they're not in position to hear.
Amen.
They're not in position to really receive what God is trying to release to them and impart to them. And some folk have too many voices
mm-hmm.
in their ear.
Mm-hmm.
They have too many voices in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're not discerning the voice of the Lord amongst the voices.
Mm.
You know, there's too many people that have not developed a level of trust in their gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't trust what they are sensing God say.
Mm.
And so when you're at that place, you're so easy and quick to allow other people to override what you're sensing God saying.
Yeah.
You'll never get anywhere in God if you don't develop a level of trust in your gift.
Amen.
Because there's a whole lot of voices. The Bible talks about that. There's a lot of voices. You know, but you've got to be able to discern the voice of God in the voice that God has assigned to speak into your life.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You've got to be able to do that. And if you're not doing that, and you don't have that level of faith and trust and confidence in your own gift, then you'll let people send you in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You know, you let the wrong voice send you down the wrong path.
Every time.
And that prophetess, Valerie, when you let people send you down the wrong path, it increases the distance.
It does. It certainly does.
Amen. It increases
going in the opposite direction of where God
exactly.
wants it to be.
It increases the distance. And if you increase the distance, you increase the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've got to get to a place where we trust the gift of God. I preached a message recently, about a couple months ago, and I talked about how my gift has never failed me.
Amen. Amen.
I failed my gift.
Amen. Amen.
By leaning to my own understanding.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, but when I look back over my life and I meditate and I look at situations and circumstances where I was sensing God saying something, And but I didn't go follow through with what I was sensing God saying. It always didn't work out. It never worked out the way God purposed it to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I trusted my gift,
yeah.
in spite of circumstances, in spite of what other people were saying, in spite of the way it looked, it always worked out.
Yeah, and it does.
I remember a quick testimony, Prophet Valerie, and this blessed me because it just showed me the character of God. A few years ago, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I'm not sure how long, my youngest daughter was younger, and she told me that she wanted a puppy for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I grew up with, my parents always had, you know, dogs around the house. I appreciate, you know, having an animal and things like that, and pets and things like that. So I agreed. I said, okay, you know, I'm going to get you this puppy for Christmas. And so, you know, we rode around, and I took her to a couple of kennels, and we kind of did our research and our homework. We decided the type of dog that we wanted. I took her to the kennel, and she held that type of dog and fell in love with the Dachshunds, you know. And so that's the one we decided that she would want, you know, she was going to get because, you know, we felt like the personality of the dog was agreeable to what, you know, she could handle and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the kennel prices were more than what I had to spend.
Right.
You know, I had a budget and I had a certain amount that I was trying to spend on this dog. So I looked for this dog, Prophetess Valerie, and I could not find this dog at the price that I wanted to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to crunch time. I mean, I'm looking in the paper, looking on the internet, and things like that. I could never find the dog at the price. I even tried negotiating with some people, and they were not willing to come down on the price. So anyway, it came down to the few days before Christmas. And I'm sitting at my desk one day, and the Spirit of the Lord said, trust your anointing, trust your gift. And later on, I just felt led. I had been looking in the paper all the time, but I had given up on the paper because, you know, I'm thinking intellectual now. I'm thinking it's Wednesday. If it's not in the paper on the weekend, it's not going to be added on a Wednesday.
Right.
It's going to be just the same stuff that was on there in there on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking. And the Spirit of God led me to, he said, look again. I look in the paper, and there's the dog.
Mm.
We got the dog the day before Christmas, and
Amen.
The rest is history. But you know why that blessed me? Number one, it God was showing me how to trust my gifts and things like that. But number two, I was so blessed to see how God was concerned about something as minute as a pet for my daughter.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, that blessed me, and I came to the point of tears and thanking God because I said, God, it was just a dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I don't get this dog, you know, it wouldn't have been a life or death situation or anything like that. And the Lord was like, you know, I wanted you to be able to fulfill your promise to your daughter.
Amen.
And that blessed me. And I pray that that ministers to some people. I hadn't intended on sharing that today, but I pray that that ministers to people because this is part of this best life. God is concerned. The Bible says he perfects those things that concern us.
Yeah.
God is not all into things that, you know, he's just not aware and concerned about things that pertain to his purpose being fulfilled and things like that. He's concerned about things that pertain to this life that he wants us to live.
Amen.
He's concerned about things that pertains to this best life because, in fact, he's paid the price for that.
Amen.
And so, you know, I bless God for that. And I pray again that, you know, that does minister to someone.
Amen.
But we've got to learn how to trust our gift. And, you know, it's things like that, just, you know, going through the rigors of everyday life, if you learn how to practice your gift, you learn how to trust your gift.
Amen.
Amen. Stop going by your intellect so much. and begin to practice your gift. Practice being led by the Spirit. Practice applying the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And that will cause you to develop more faith and trust and confidence in what you're believing God is saying. As prophets and prophetesses and all these sorts of functions in the body of Christ, we've got to be capable of putting our life on the line based upon what our gift is saying.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to be able to put our life on the line. You know, so, and believe it or not, even if you're not a prophet or a prophet or a prophetess or an apostle or whatever, there'll be some situations in your personal life that will be life and death situations where you got to trust your gift. The doctor might be saying one thing, your gift is saying another thing.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to trust your gift. People have died and gone on to glory early because they didn't trust their gift.
Yeah. Amen.
They didn't trust their gift. And so, you know, this is important that you develop a level of trust and faith in what you believe God is saying to you individually.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's good.
So let's read this Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 9 through 15, and let's take a look at this as it pertains to this best life that God has purposed us to have. It says in verse 9, "What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task." There is a God-given task that God has appointed for your life. He says, "I have seen this God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. This is the gift of God." I mean, that verse right there speaks
Amen.
For itself.
Yeah.
"Every man should enjoy and drink and should eat and drink and
enjoy.
The good of all his labor."
Enjoy.
In other words, your work that's centered around purpose will produce a good life.
Amen.
The best life. That's the gift of God. Nobody can give you this except God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That not only are you doing something that you are in the earth to do, but the whole life that's built around that purpose, that's built around the God-given task, that's built around the very purpose God has sent you to the earth, the life that's built around that produces the best life.
Mm-hmm.
It produces it. You can't get it any other way.
You can't.
God sets it up that way. It is the gift of God. Verse 14 goes on to say, "I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever."
Amen.
Now that'll preach right there, prophet,
yeah.
is because
yeah.
what people need to understand is that whatever God has done in your life, it's not the last time he wants to do it.
It's going to last forever.
Amen. God is into perpetual blessing.
Yes.
That's why he said, "I'm taking you into a land that floweth with milk and honey." He didn't just say there's milk and honey there.
Yeah.
Because milk and honey will eventually run out.
Mm-mm-mm.
But it flows. That means the milk and honey is never going to end.
Never
it's going to flow.
Yes.
It's a perpetual blessing. You know, Psalm 1 it is, I believe it is, it says, "You shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season." Any good fruit tree does not bear fruit just one time.
Right. Yeah.
It bears fruit perpetually. Throughout the life of that tree. In other words, so if the analogy now is that God says, "Be like the tree planted by the water," that means that there's things that God wants to do perpetually through our lives.
Yes.
Amen. Whatever he's done, he wants to do it again.
And again.
Amen.
And
it's
again.
Forever. whatever he has, he wants to do it again.
Yeah. Amen.
So you made me stop right there. And see, the key now is going to be to understand how he did it.
Yep.
Not necessarily understand how he did it, but understand what you did to initiate it.
To initiate
time.
That process to take place, that manifestation
Amen.
To come forth.
Amen. That's the key. We get so caught up into celebrating the blessing that we fail to realize I have tapped into a principle here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whenever I need this to happen again, I simply need to initiate the principle the same way I initiated the first time.
Yes.
And
yes.
God would do it again.
And that's the importance of watching your history.
Yes. Yes.
That's the importance of it. You know, we look at things, and too often we pay attention to that which happened that was negative. Somehow we just sort of bookmark that. We think back to that which happened that wasn't beneficial because it's haunting.
Amen.
You've got to start paying attention to when it happens and it's happening right.
Exactly.
Where am I in my life? Who am I listening to? Am I applying what God is speaking? You know,
yeah.
Where am I operating in faith, or do I really trust God, and am I saying the right things? Is my heart
Amen.
Right towards people?
Amen. I was talking to one of our dear friends on Saturday. I'm sure she's probably listening tonight, so she'll appreciate me sharing this story. I was talking to Sister Martha,
mm-hmm.
and she was sharing with me how the Lord had asked her, Martha used to play a lot of basketball, and the Lord had asked her, what do you do when you shoot a free throw?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she responded, well, I just get the ball and I shoot it. He said, no, wait a minute now. Let's go back and look again. And she said, now, once she went back and she stopped and did a failure on it, she realized that there was several steps in the process that she went through before she actually shot the ball.
Poise and concentration took place.
Amen. You know, she got the ball. She bounced the ball,
mm-hmm.
you know, two or three times, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm sure there was a certain amount of bounces that she always did before she took the step. Then she said she spun the ball in her hand. And then she focused, you know, there was a couple of thoughts that went through her mind as far as, you know, positioning of her elbow and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so, but the point was, God wanted her to understand the steps that were involved
right.
to get the result that she was getting.
Amen.
And a lot of times we don't get the steps that were involved.
Yeah.
To get the result
exactly.
that we got when we got blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important, like you're saying, to know the steps that were involved, because when we go back to initiate the process again, you got to be able to do the steps
mm-hmm.
just like you did them before in order to get that result. Now, we operate, prophetess, we operate that principle in reverse all the time.
Yeah, we do.
Because we keep doing the same thing, and we're getting a result that we don't want to get, but yet we do the same thing again.
Yeah.
And that's the reverse of a principle. You know, it's called insanity.
In pure ignorance. I mean, that's what it is. I mean,
Amen.
You know, that's idiot mentality. You keep doing the same thing and you're expecting something different. That's not going to happen.
Expecting something different.
You're going to get the same thing if you're doing the same thing.
Yes.
But I like what you said from the beginning, Prophet, about how, you know, God has it so that we can eliminate some steps. And so just like you were sharing with Martha, sharing about what Martha stated about how she positioned herself to shoot a free throw. Now she realized that she dribbled, she spun, she did this, she did that. But I'm sure that as she practiced and as she went to that free throw line, God let her know, okay, well, you can still shoot it. But you don't have to dribble five times, and you don't
right.
have to spin it in your hand. But if you just focus, position your elbow and release with your eye on the basket, with your eye on the prize, you can eliminate
Amen.
The steps and still get the same outcome.
Amen. And that's called perfecting the principle.
Yes, yes.
Where you actually focus in to the point where you can, in fact, eliminate some steps. That's
yes.
called perfecting the principle.
Amen.
And so, you know, that's definitely a key there. So verse 14, it goes on to say, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15 is the verse I really want to focus on. It says, that which has already been and to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past.
Amen.
That last, that B portion of the scripture, it speaks to the fact that God is after fulfilling his original intent in our life. He's after what is past. He's after what the he's after the original.
Amen.
That's what he's after. He's after the original.
Amen.
You know, he has an original intent for our lives. That's
yeah.
his purpose.
Yeah.
And he's after that. And so we move away from that. And that's why he speaks to it, he speaks to it as though it's in the past, because we're trying to get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he references it as though it's in the past. And that's based on our positioning.
Wow.
We're trying to get back to the original intent. We're trying to get back to the way life was always meant to be.
Yeah.
Come on, people. We're trying to get back. This is the way life was always meant to be. And sometimes in life, Prophetess Valerie, you will have moments. And you would have moments you say, oh, man, this is just great. Guess what? This is the way life was always meant to be for you.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
This is the way it was always meant to be.
Yes.
You're supposed to live like this.
Yeah. Amen.
And we're trying to get back to that place because now we move out of position. And this is why he speaks to it and references it as being past.
Amen.
He's after something that was his original intent for our lives. And so what we need to do is we need to, you know, it's a healthy exercise to ask yourself, well, what does this life look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does his, you know, what does living in the purpose of God look like? What does his life look like? You know, he talked about it being a beautiful life. He says he's made everything beautiful in his time. It's a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we looked at Ecclesiastes 5 last week, and it talks about it's an exciting life. He says it keeps you busy with the joy of your heart. You know, your days are not boring because he's keeping you busy with what you've been sent to the earth to do.
Amen.
Amen. And we also talked about that this life is absent of responsibilities that don't belong to you.
Ooh, God does know.
Amen.
Amen.
It's absent of responsibilities that are not yours.
Yes.
And that's what makes life complex.
It does. It does.
You know, when we're carrying stuff that don't belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to take care of things that it was never God's intent that would be our responsibility.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now let's focus in on now how one of the things that God is going to do. Remember I started off saying there's a lot of intervention that goes on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
To get me to where God needs me to be. God is helping me a whole lot.
Amen.
He's intervening in my life. He's interrupting my life. He's allowing contrary winds to come into my life. He's shutting doors for me. He's moving. Now in a certain stage of maturity, people will perceive all these things as being negative.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Let me say it again. I said he's shutting doors for me.
Yeah.
He's allowing contrary winds to blow on me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And he's not allowing things to happen for me.
Amen.
But this is helping me.
Amen.
To move in the direction I need to move in order to get to the place he needs me to be.
Amen.
You know, if you just take a read of Psalm 107, you know, here's a psalm, and throughout the course of this psalm, every man that God says these words, all that men would get thanks and praise for the wonderful works of men. Give praise to God for the wonderful works.
Mm.
And in between each time he says that, he talks about how he's interrupting someone's life and intervening in someone's life and causing storms to blow in someone's life. So these are the things that we don't thank God for.
Amen.
Because we judge these things based on how they're making us feel.
Yeah.
We judge these things based on who's involved in it, who's saying it, who's doing it, and how it's making us feel. We don't judge these things. We don't discern these things from the perspective of God, that God is after fulfilling his purpose in my life, and God wants me to pick up the pace, so he's allowing storms now.
Amen.
Come on, God wants all of us to pick up the pace. So the Bible actually says in Psalm 107, verse 23, he commanded a storm. Good God. He wants you to speed up here. You're not going to get there.
Yeah.
If you don't pick up the pace.
Yeah.
So he'll command a storm. Maybe the next time a storm comes, you might want to thank God for the contrary wind that's blowing to get you to move in the direction he needs you to go in.
Yeah, because you say don't fight the wind. Sometimes the wind is your friend.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So one of the things that happens now is that God will shift the power in our life. I call it the power shift or shifting of the power.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when he shifts the power in your life is God will begin to focus on certain things in your life that's relevant to his purpose.
Yes.
And he will begin to empower. He will begin to enlarge. He will begin to expand. And he will begin to increase just the things that are relevant to his purpose.
Amen. Amen.
Let me say that again.
Amen.
I said something key here. I said he will empower, enlarge, expand, yes. increase.
Yes.
Just the things that are relevant to his purpose.
Yes.
Now, this will happen at the expense of the things that are not relevant.
Yes, it will.
So while there'll be some things that are increasing and growing and expanding and enlarging in your life, there'll be other things that will be diminishing and fading away.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I refer to as a power shift.
Mm-hmm.
He's shifting the power to just the things that are relevant.
Amen.
And this is the place where you begin to struggle with things that are diminishing. Things that are diminishing are no longer productive. Things that are diminishing are not relevant are no longer productive. They're no longer producing sufficiency in your life. You're struggling to do them. You're struggling to maintain them. You're struggling them to keep them going forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is where people begin to fight against the shift.
Yeah. And you have to be careful in that place, too, because as you're experiencing them, there are people watching it take place. And they'll begin to try to influence you. That,
yes.
Man, what you do?
Right.
God at you. What you do to make you feel like they're trying to guilt you into making you think that something is wrong. And so,
exactly.
You know, you have to guard your mind because they'll take you to a place and have you thinking stupid stuff. And that's when you really do start fighting against that wind that's coming to perpetuate what God wants to do.
Amen, absolutely.
Be careful who you share what God is doing in your life with.
Amen. That's very good. You know, there is a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, who can make straight what he has crooked?
Exactly.
And so, you got to be careful when the shifts are taking place in your life. Some people are come and try to help you fix it.
Yes.
When God is the one who's making it crooked.
Exactly. Amen. Amen.
To make straight. And so you get to a place where you're fighting God.
Yep.
You're struggling against God. And while at the same time, you fail to really recognize that what God is really doing,
mm-hmm.
that's that thing that he's promoting now. That's that thing that is gaining momentum now. On the fourth thing, that you don't see that something it's gaining momentum. If something is increasing, there's more opportunities to do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's more doors opening for this. There's more people approaching for this. But you're so caught up into that you can't see it.
Yeah.
This is the power shift. And you've got to be able to look at the shifting of power. This is the direction he's trying to get you to move in. This is the direction that he wants you to invest the grace and the oil that's upon your life. He wants you to go there and release the grace. He wants you to go there and release the oil. And so we have to be able to recognize these shifts, these power shifts that take place in our life. Now, what happens now is once we see this happening, this is the place now where God will ask a relevant question, such as, how do you see your life now? Now that this power shift is going on in your life, take a look around. Some people, you need to just take a look at your life now. Do you see what is growing in contrast to what appears to be dying?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the thing that God is blessing? Do you see the thing that is enlarging and expanding and increasing and advancing? Do you see it?
Amen.
In contrast to the thing that is diminishing. Do you see it? You got to be able to see this. And this is why God said, how do you see life now?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see this shifting of power, this indicates to you what direction you need to move in with your life. This indicates what direction you need to move in. This indicates where God wants you to invest spiritual resources, material resources, whatever he has made available to you. This indicates where God wants you to plug in.
Yeah.
He wants you to allow that other thing to die. And he wants you to pull out your investment and place it in the thing that you see he's blessing now.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, boy.
Amen, 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 amen.
This is help here, see?
Yes.
This is the kind of help we need.
Yes.
He's going to do a power shift to help you see this thing. Now, if we can go to the next scripture that I want to talk to you about to kind of share real quickly as we kind of wind down on the time here. In Matthew 13, it talks about the tares. And you know, the parable talks about how, we won't read it for the sake of time, but, you know, in the parable, it said that, you know, weeds sprouted it up with the wheat. And one of the people said, you know, I thought you sowed good seed. And the master said, he said, an enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. We're looking at life right now through the distortion of what the enemy has planted.
Yes.
In addition to that, we're also seeing life through the distortion of our own choices and decisions that were not consistent with the purpose of God for our life.
Amen.
So we've got distortion. So when you're talking about seeing what does this life look like, what does the life that God purposed me to live look like, I've got to be able to see it through the distortion of what the enemy has planted and what I have planted that was not consistent with the plan and the purpose of God.
Wow, wow.
Now, when these power shifts takes place, these things which I refer to as tares are removed.
Yes.
So that I can see clearly.
Clearly.
I can see clearly.
Clearly.
Amen?
Yeah.
I can see clearly now what my life is supposed to look like. There's one scripture I want to read real quick. It's in Isaiah 49. God, prophetess Valerie, God still has a clear, undistorted view of what our life is supposed to look like.
Amen.
He still has a clear, undistorted view of what your and mine and everyone else's life is purposed to look like. In
Amen.
Isaiah 49, begin at verse 14, it says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. God says, but I will not forget. Now watch this. Verse 16, he says, see, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Good God Almighty. Your walls are continually before me. Now, the walls encompass everything that has to do with your life.
Yeah. Wow.
God has an undistorted view of what your life is purposed to really look like.
Wow.
And so he's not seeing it through any distortion. And so I double D dare you all to ask God. I double D dare you.
Ooh.
That's going old school now. I double D dare you to ask God to give you a pattern for what your life's supposed to look like right now.
Amen.
Now, this is why I double did that. Because now, you're going to have to be able to deal with how far removed your life may be from the Father's original intent.
Amen. Wow.
Are you brave enough to even ask God for what your life is purposed to look like? You got to be brave enough because you're going to have to deal with how far removed you might be.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And not get to the point where you just say, my God, man, it took me forever to get there. It's not. It doesn't have to take as long.
Yeah.
It's going to depend on the level of precision you walk in from this point on as pertains to the will of God for your life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This was great. This was great. This was thought-provoking. This was reflective.
Amen.
Everyone that listened and... Yeah, he challenged you, and I challenge you as well, that ask the question. Go ahead and allow God to begin to reveal to you so that from this point on, you won't have to take as many steps as maybe we've had to.
Yes, exactly.
So
let me make some steps.
Yeah, yeah, so you can get what it is God has for you. Bless God.
Amen. Amen.
Join me. I'll be on the air again on Thursday, the Lord saying the same, with an empowerment message, and we'll be back again next Tuesday with another episode of Fire and Desire. As always, we pray that you're empowered by what we do, and after you've been empowered, please take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you until next time.